You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 13th of November. The two things I think are most important in the NBA. The shooters and more shooters in the NBA draft, and rumors and more rumors floating around the league. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. We are on day three of the NBA mock draft at Locked On NBA. The numbers have been massive because the show is amazing. Doug Branson, our director of production, did an incredible job on it. Chad Ford, John Hollinger, both came by to stop by. Jeremy Wu, player breakdowns. Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy Basketball has done amazing work. Had Kevin Pelton and Chad Ford on this week on that show, along with Brandon Clean and Brad Rowland. Massive show. Hope you're tuning into it. Binge listen this weekend. It could be great. All right. I want to talk about some big picture NBA stuff. We had some leftover things in the show yesterday. There are two things in the league that I think are super important right now. One of them is secondary rim defense, and the other is off-the-bounce shooting. And they're a little bit related. So let me start with the off-the-bounce shooting. What we saw, particularly in the bubble, is that with everyone in the league playing the drop-big defense, so what that means is that the big, you come off the pick and roll, and the big drops back. And as the roll guy rolls, the big is dropping back equal to the roll man, denying the ball handler the ability to get to the rim, simultaneously kind of staying with his man to avoid the lob. It therefore forces an off-the-bounce mid-range jump shot. And this has been what defenses have wanted to do. Milwaukee has probably been the leader of this. The Jazz have the best shot distribution defense in the NBA with Rudy Gobert. And the concept is, you know, if you can't get to the rim and I hug to the three-point shooters and I force you to that ball handler to pull up, what I'm giving up is a mid-range jump shot. And then that's analytically smart. And so the best defenses in the league have denied the rim. This began to evolve a little bit this year because other than the, as offenses began to get a little better, other than the Utah Jazz, no team in the NBA was able to be defensively in the bottom, in the top five defensive teams of denying shots at the rim and denying threes. And only Oklahoma City was able to be in the top 10, and they are actually 10th in both. But Milwaukee, who denies the rim at a level far better than anyone else, 6% less than league average, are 28th in the league at denying the three. So they give up the rim, or they deny the rim, but they give up the three. Orlando, similar. Third best team denying the rim, 20th in the league at denying the three. Miami, fourth best team denying the rim, 29th to denying the three. Toronto's sixth best team in the league denying the rim, 30th in the league denying the three. And actually, if you keep going, Clippers 7th, 24th, Boston 8th, 23rd, Golden State 9th, 22nd. So if you look at the top 10 teams in the NBA denying the rim, 7 of the 10 are in the bottom of denying threes. So we're beginning to see offenses evolve. The other one we're watching with what we saw in the bubble was the fact that the offenses are beginning to get the off-the-bounce three off the pick and roll, right? So Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell come off the pick and roll, the big drops, and you fire the three. So that off-the-bounce three is going to force teams to change the way they defend with the big in the pick and roll. And that'll be part two of what I think is most important in the league. So the off-the-bounce three to me is becoming a more and more important play in the league. And that makes the following players more valuable. So James Harden, these are the players that take at least four off-the-bounce threes a game. Harden, Trae Young, Dame Lillard, Luka Doncic, Kemba Walker, Devontae Graham, D'Angelo Russell, Steph, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Zach LaVine, Buddy Hield, Kyle Lowry, Donovan Mitchell. The next tier, Bradley Beal, Spencer Dinwiddie, CJ McCollum, LeBron James, Giannis actually, Chris Paul, he only made 32%, Chris Paul, Paul George, Devin Booker, Victor Oladipo, Blake Griffin, Caris LeVert, Drew Holiday, Fred VanVleet, Jamal Murray. Mike Conley actually is next. Might as well continue to give you the list because some of those names are pretty interesting. Between 2.5 and 3, Mike Conley, Terry Rozier, Evan Fournier, Malcolm Brogdon, Brandon Knight actually. He wasn't very good at it, but he was all right. But Kawhi Leonard, Lou Williams, Alec Burks. And then the final grouping includes Luke Kennard in Denver, Detroit, which is interesting. Marcus Smart, Pascal Siakam, Andrew Wiggins, not very good at it. Darius Garland, not very good at it. Eric Gordon, Jordan Clarkson, we're now into two a game. Shabazz Napier, Tyler Hero, Bojan Bogdanovic, J.J. Redick, Joe Ingles, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. There's 55 players in the NBA that took more than two a game. The reason people want you to take the off-the-bounce three is there aren't that many people who shoot it very well. If you hit 35% of them, you're at about 1.05 points per possession. And if we go to the best offenses in the league, right, and get the points per possession on the best offenses in the league, the best offense in the league is a 116, Dallas last year. The league average is 111. So if I get you to shoot a three and you shoot 35% on an off-the-bounce three, it's actually like that would be the worst offense in the NBA. That's why that shot is going to become that. Like, Jamal Murray killed us on it, and at some point in the playoffs, you're going to find guys that are so good, you're going to have to adapt. But the fact is, the math is still right on this. The off-the-bounce three at 1.05 points per possession would make you the worst offensive team in the NBA. And the fact is, there are only, in the entire league, about 12 guys, maybe more, about 15 guys. Actually, I have the exact number here for you. Sorry, I was just doing it off the top of my head, but I worked it out last night. There are 19 guys in the league that actually shot more than 35% on above the break threes. So it suddenly made, and of those, you know, it took at least two. So this is still the right shot. Like I know we're all talking about all this crazy stuff that's going on and how we got to adjust the bigs and do this and Rudy's getting played off the floor. Like, the math is still abundantly clear here. Now, again, you get playing Jamal Murray and he gets hot and it gets interesting. But here are the guys that are actually above 35%. J.J. Redick, Paul George, second best in the NBA. Dame Lillard, okay, that's been a problem for us, right? Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Eric Gordon, Alec Burks. Interesting. Like, remember that. Bojan Bogdanovic, Caris LeVert, tradable. Like, right? Okay. Kyrie Irving, Buddy Hield, available. Brandon Knight, Chris Middleton, Goran Dragic, available. Luke Kennard, maybe available. I doubt it. Evan Fournier, player option, might be available. J.J. Barea, old. Kemba Walker, Zach LaVine, available. Chris Paul, available. Tim Hardaway Jr., Kyle Lowry, James Harden, Joe Ingles. Drew Holiday, 34.7. D'Angelo Russell, 34.5. But, like, 34.5, like, go ahead, take it. The fact is, until you're over 37%, you're not better than league average. The only guys above 37% are Kennard, Dragic, Middleton, Knight, Hield, Irving, Caris LeVert, Bojan Bogdanovic, Alec Burks, Eric Gordon, and the only guys over 40% right now for a year are Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Paul George, and J.J. Redick. So teams could make a terrible mistake if they abandon this defense, but you're going to need something. What I thought's interesting about this list, Alec Burks, free agent, Caris LeVert evidently available in trade, maybe, maybe not. Buddy Hield certainly available in trade. And Buddy Hield went to 4.3 He was the number one above the catch and shoot 3-point shooter. He's now 4.3 off the bounce. That's a lot. That's a bona fide shooter. Goran Dragic, free agent. Luke Kennard's been rumored. I don't know if he's available. Evan Fournier, player option, but supposedly available. Zach LaVine, available. This is why I like Zach LaVine. So I think that's the next skill. Now, I'll tell you what. I had 19 guys who shot over 35%, and I had 55 guys who took two. I would guess that next year there'll be 100 players that take more than two, and offenses will drop because of it. Donovan, by the way, takes four at 32.1%. He was better in the bubble. Jamal Murray takes three at 32.4%. They were unusually better in the bubble. Right? We could run some numbers on bubble numbers to see whether or not, you know, what it showed, but the bubble numbers were unusually good. But that's worth just kind of remember that. That's the first thing. I'll hit the second one is secondary rim defense. So the second one to me that's most important that's being talked about in the league, and we'll get to it, is secondary rim defense. This weekend, multiple binge opportunities. Locked On Fantasy Basketball has a ton out there for you, as does the NBA mock draft. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. Incredible lineup of cars and available for you. The SUV lineup starts with the zippy little Kona that's like the Subaru Outback the Subaru Sport Track or whatever it is. That little tiny fun, great colors, zippy car, great things for it. Then you go to the Tucson. Great deals on the Tucson right now. Then the Santa Fe. I have two of them. Then the Palisade, which is absolutely the gorgeous car out there in the SUV lineup. Go check it out. 4646 South State Street. Also located in Linden and in Logan. Like to have you stop by. If you're going to stop by, can you take a minute? Email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. And we will make sure that you get the VIP treatment, set you up with someone. So if you're going to go check out a car, put Murdoch on your list and stop by. Today's show also brought to you by Built Bar, the most delicious protein bar on the market and also the healthiest. With the new flavors, maple pecan and pumpkin chocolate chip, your selection's even better. The coconut, kind of like a Mounds bar. The mint brownie, terrific. I've told you I was stunned by how good the orange was as well. So stop by Built Bar and check them out. Caramel brownie there for you as well. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off. Here's the crazy part about it. The macros are just so much better than the leading men's bar. 120 calories less, 3.5 fat grams less, 34 carbs less, 17 sugar grams less, and 7 grams more protein. It's Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. The second thing that I think is the most important, and this all relates, is secondary rim defense. So what's going to happen as the off-the-bounce three-point shooting becomes more prolific and the best players are making that shot is at times you're going to have to pull your big up to deny that shot, and you're going to have to probably switch. And this is where people start to venture into the idea that Rudy Gobert can't, you know, is being phased out of the game. Okay, nothing's more inaccurate. Rudy's actually pretty good. He's actually rakes as like the number one isolation defender in the league. Some of that's because of post-up, but generally he's pretty good. And what's really the problem is that when Rudy gets pulled out to 28 feet, there's no secondary rim defense. So if I'm out on the market right now and I'm a team and I can find a 3 or a 4 that also can play defense. This is why the Lakers won the championship, because they have JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. They have secondary rim defense in Anthony Davis. They have third area rim defense in LeBron James. And frankly, Danny Green can actually is long enough and athletic enough before he's gotten old to have an impact there as well. Right? So that's like incredible. If you can find secondary rim defense, that's why Portland tried to play big a bunch last year. Well, now when you spread out and switch and they beat your guy and secondary rim defense comes, sure, they can pass out. You're getting late in the shot clock. You're probably in pretty good shape. And again, go back to where the goals are. The goal is to deny the rim. Ideally, force an off-the-bounce three, but if it's a catch-and-shoot three, it's actually still better than denying the rim. Right? Let's just so you have all those numbers and everyone makes this all makes sense to everyone. If you look at the NBA shooting averages at the rim, you shoot 64%, and all threes are about 36%. So 64% on a two-point shot comes out to about 1.3 points per shot, not quite. And the three-point shot comes out to about 1.08. So it's a really big difference, right? 0.2 points per shot. So you want to deny that rim. So the problem lies that you end up with a big man pulled out who's your secondary rim defense. So I don't really know how to figure this out. So I went through the NBA and tried to find, you know, defense within 6 feet of the basket. Now, the fact is, the denying the shot, which is what Rudy does, is probably more important than actually defending the shot. So it's a little misleading. There's probably some work in cleaning the glass I can try to figure out, like, do players take fewer shots? You know, who are the players that take, what are the defenders that cause teams to take fewer shots at the rim when they're on the floor? And then, so like I can do that with Rudy, but then frankly, Bojan Bogdanović's numbers are going to look really good in that regard also because of the fact that like Rudy allows teams take 5% fewer shots at the rim when Rudy's on the floor. Okay, so there's your rim defense. But you know what? Bojan Bogdanović played every minute with Rudy Gobert, and so his numbers are going to say the same thing probably, but the fact is has nothing to do with Bojan Bogdanović. It has to do with Rudy Gobert. So this is a really hard statistical thing to find. I almost think you just kind of have to guess. But if you're interested, there are 90 players in the league who defended at least four shots at the rim last year. The good ones are mostly bigs. Brooke Lopez, Robin Lopez, Zubac with the Clippers, Zach Collins. Rudy was fifth best, 48%, 9 a game. Hassan Whiteside, Jakob Poeltl, free agent. Anthony Davis, Alex Len, free agent. I might be interested in Alex Len as a million-dollar backup center, I got to tell you. I know he didn't shoot the three last year well, but feels like he's got something there. JaVale McGee, Kristaps Porzingis, Jonathan Isaac, Montrezl Harrell, Daniel Gafford in Chicago. Miles Turner is going to be traded in all likelihood. Karl-Anthony Towns, Mo Bamba, Jared Allen, Willie Cauley-Stein, Serge Ibaka. Okay, there's one. Serge Ibaka can be a secondary rim defender because he can play the four. Who else on this list? Well, Brandon Clark, Memphis, might turn out to be really valuable. Draymond Green, he's kind of a center. And then there really aren't a lot of fours. Jaren Jackson Jr. might be. Memphis might be able to build a defense actually out of that. There really aren't a lot of fours. And then pretty quickly you get into the bad defense. Like by the time you get to the next group of guys, you get some of the worst defensive players in this regard, and they don't have an impact. So I don't have a number for you on this, but it's something to keep an eye on of whether or not you can go find secondary rim defenders. Okay? So those are the two. I just bring it up because it's a lot of talk going on, a lot of rumors. You know, like Dallas is talking about Zach LaVine, Spencer Dinwiddie, Victor Oladipo, all can shoot off the three, you know, off the bounce threes. Seems like a pretty good mix. All right, Jazz news note, and then we'll get into the shooters in the draft and try to get to some of the rumors quickly. Mike Conley opted in, no surprise. The next piece of information is whether or not that opt-in counts before or after the draft. If it's before the draft, his contract is eligible to be traded at the draft. I'm not sure it's something we would do, but it's just a move that gives him eligibility. And you know what? Mike was pretty darn good after he got his hamstrings taken out. He's a good off-the-bounce three-point shooter. He gives us great ability, and I think it'll be really interesting how you use him. I'd love to see him spearhead the second unit. He could start or spearhead the second unit and finish. I think he could be dominant and be great for us in that regard. He's just so talented, plays so well, gets everyone in line, helps players. He makes people better when they're on the floor. I think he could be really great. So I would keep an eye on that. All right, who are the best shooters in this draft that we have data on? Most of the big guys that we don't have data on probably are not guys that, you know, like why you don't have a lot of data on Ball because of where he was, and we don't have a lot of data on Killian Hayes, but the word is that they're not particularly good shooters. So we'll look at the best spot-up shooters, and we'll look at the best overall catch-and-shoot shooters, and we'll look at the best catch-and-shoot unguarded shooters. Those are my things that I like to believe in on shooting. As we continue, it is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. If you listen like three times a week, you become a way smarter sports fan. Who are the best spot-up shooters in the draft? This is Tyrese Haliburton is number one. Sadiq Bey is number two at 98th percentile. Obi Toppin is number three. He actually has the best effective field goal percentage of anyone on just 53 attempts. Cassius Winston, the 22-year-old guard out of Michigan State. And by the way, if you've been listening all week, you've heard this age. Haliburton's only 20. Sadiq Bey, 21. Obi Toppin, 22. Cassius Winston, 22. Grant Riller is fifth. I tell you what, Grant Riller comes out well on this. And then you go to his sophomore, he's still the same shooter. Aaron Nesmith Vanderbilt, 20. Peyton Pritchard, Oregon. Desmond Bain is the next. Those are the elite spot-up shooters. Not catch and shoot, just spot up. Not always sure what the difference is, but that's the next tier. Trey Jones, sophomore, Duke. I think that's really interesting because he's thought of as a non-offensive player and was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Kira Lewis Jr., Malachi Flynn, Elijah Hughes, a wing out of Syracuse, 22 years old, 6'6". His numbers are really good. Not a good pick and roll ball handler, but a good isolation player, good transition, comes out as a decent shooter here. Emmanuel Quickly, and Tayshaun Alexander. The worst shooters, mostly bigs. The big out of Arizona, NGO, Isaiah Stewart, Washington, Patrick Williams, Xavier Tillman, Jaden McDaniels, Tyrese Maxey, Paul Reed, DePaul, Robert Woodard. Oh, poor Robert Woodard gets into this group, 49 percentile. Anthony Edwards right there at 53rd percentile. And low percentage on Anthony Edwards because he takes so many of his shots as twos. Okay, so those are the best. Now let's go to pure catch and shoot guys. And again, we don't have RJ Hampton. We don't have LaMelo Ball. We don't have Denny Avdija. We don't have Theo Maledon. We don't have Bumero. We don't have Pokuševski. So we're missing, you know, we just don't have that. I don't have access to that data. Let's go pure catch and shoot. And I will tell you, I do believe in open catch and shoot as an important number. But the best catch and shoot guy in the draft was Nesmith out of Vanderbilt. He's in the 100 percentile, 81% effective field goal percentage. Number two, Tyrell Terry, Stanford, 19 years old. Number three, Tyrese Haliburton. Number four, Sadiq Bey. Number five, Cassius Winston. Here's an interesting one. Number six is Cassius Stanley, who's the 6'6 wing out of Duke. Jamias Ramsey, out of the freshman guard out of Texas Tech. And then Peyton Pritchard, Oregon, 22-year-old. Those are the elite. So the elite are Nesmith, Terrell Terry, Tyrese Haliburton, Sadiq Bey, Cassius Winston, Cassius Stanley, Jamias Ramsey, Peyton Pritchard, Kara Lewis Jr. Next tier, next tier, Kira Lewis Jr., Devin Vassell, Tyler Bay, Grant Riller, Josh Green, who is supposedly slipping a little bit, Cole Anthony, Malachi Flynn, Trey Jones again, and then Jaden McDaniels, interestingly. So his catch and shoot on 26 of 66. All those guys have about 60 attempts. Okay, final one to look at is my own personal favorite, the unguarded. I don't know why I like this. I just do. I just think that some of these guys get particularly bad shots by being the best player on the floor all the time, and most of them are not going to be stars when they hit the NBA, so they're going to get unguarded. Not a lot of attempts here. We have nobody with more than 45 attempts, so this gets a little funky on sample size. Nesmith is number one again. Terrell Terry's number two. Cole Anthony is number three. I'm not out on Cole Anthony numerically. I'm out on Cole Anthony at North Carolina with no space. Tyrese Halliburton, fourth. Sadiq Bey, five. Trey Jones, again, six. These numbers would make me, if I was an NBA scout, go watch Cole Anthony again, go watch Trey Jones again, go watch Quickley again, go watch Cassius Winston again, go watch Jamias Ramsey again. Josh Green, 94th percentile on open catch and shoot. That's kind of why I like him. He was my first like, by the way, before Robert Woodard, and I would probably take Josh Green over Robert Woodard if I had my choice. Malachi Flynn, Grant Riller, Killian Tilly, big man out of Gonzaga, that's interesting. Precious Oshua, only 9 of 18. Grant Riller is a freshman, because he's so old, I went and ran his old numbers. Those are the elite. Nesmith, Terry, Cole Anthony, Tyrese Halliburton, Sadiq Bey, Trey Jones, Josh Green, Malachi Flynn, Grant Riller, Killian Tilly, Precious Oshua. Next tier, Peyton Pritchard, Jamias Ramsey, Jaden McDaniel, Cassius Stanley, Cassius Winston, Elijah Hughes, and Nico Mannion. So those are your shooters in the draft. All right, let's get to rumors, and more rumors. I'm just going to run through them. Westbrook to Charlotte. To my opinion, I think that there might be something there where either the Rockets leaked that, or Westbrook's group leaked that, or the Rockets either leaked that to create a market because it does make sense that Charlotte would be involved, or the Rockets leaked that so that Westbrook would be quiet and realize if he's not careful, he's going to Charlotte. DeMar DeRozan, rumored to the Lakers. Makes a little sense. Miles Turner trade rumors are heating up. Either New Orleans, Drew Holiday, or Boston, Gordon Hayward. Austin Rivers has opted out. Danilo Gallinari, free agency. They have odds on it. Miami's one, Phoenix is two, Knicks are three, Denver's four, Warriors five, Bucks six. Should be interesting to watch. Got a question of why I say Robert Covington yesterday is actually, we like the concept more than the actuality. The actuality is he's the exact same shooter as Jay Crowder, percentage-wise. Jonathan Weisman, Bleacher Report, says Josh Green is dropping. And Jalen Smith seems unlikely to get to 23. Theo Maledon's name is bouncing around the Jazz an awful lot right now. I'll give you an in-depth look at him next week. I'll try to look at him over the weekend and find some games of his. I can find him. And last night, the top high school players in the country played each other. Chet Holmgren is the number one senior. He had 31 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 blocks. And Amani Bates, the number one junior, had 36 points and 10 rebounds, so maybe we should skip this draft and just draft them. Have a great weekend. Go listen to Locked On NBA's mock draft and Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd, have a great day.